Good morning and welcome to our Tuesday morning radio show. I'm Kathy Houston, your host for today, because everybody's on vacation and Joe Haley's at jury duty, but we have a stellar cast of characters here for you, including Nicole Rollander. She's the editor of Stitches, which actually won Magazine of the Year this year. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
How does that feel?
It feels stupendous, Kathy.
Definitely. And she's also the director of education. And then we have CJ Mitica. He's the editor of Wearables Magazine, fine magazine in its own right.
But not Magazine of the Year.
But it was in the top 10 last year.
We won a couple of awards, though.
That's right.
That was nice.
Ask if Advantages was ever Magazine of the Year. And then we have Colin Graff. He's one of our marketing managers, a stellar marketing genius over there.
Good morning.
Welcome aboard. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me again.
Great. And we're going to be featuring a lot of great topics for you today. And first, Nicole's going to give us the lineup.
All right, Kathy. Well, after the industry news, we're going to take some calls on fall ideas and markets to target. Kathy is going to go over character flaws that most leaders share. Colin, who actually, surprisingly, has a great voice for radio. Very nice. He's going to talk about some easy fixes for customer relationships that turn sour. I've got some fun topics. I'm going to talk about tips for striking it rich from a real housewife. CJ over there is going to cover why social listening is crucial for your business. And this is a good one for Kathy. Is cursing ever okay at work?
What?
Kathy will weigh in. And I've got another great topic about the situation, being asked not to wear Abercrombie and Fitch. And then CJ's going to round things off with how to beat the post-vacation blues before they begin. Now, Colin, you please bring us the news.
Absolutely. Rivers End Trading Company has merged with Rivers End and Page and Tuttle divisions to form one united team with one sales force, one catalog, and one product offering, and one website. The transition will take place over the next 4 months, beginning with restructuring the sales force by October 1st. Dick Kayser, chairman of the board of Kayser & Blair, Inc., passed away on August 11th. He was 81. A 61-year veteran of the industry, Mr. Kayser was known for his integrity, expertise, and enthusiasm. Among his honors, Mr. Kayser was awarded an honorary lifetime membership to PPAI, was given a lifetime achievement award by the Kayser & Blair home office staff, and was named the ASI Marvin Spike Lifetime Achievement Award winner, and as chairman of Kayser & Blair received the ASI 2011 Family Business of the Year Award. Snugs USA President and CEO Brandon McKay has acquired 100% of the company. This follows the recent departure of partner Charlie Johnson. ePromos Promotional Products has opened a new sales office in central Minnesota in downtown St. Cloud. The office is the company's second largest sales center. And tune in to Promogram today for more in-depth news and a new episode of The Joe Show, where Joe showcases new products and new ideas, including a stain-removing pen and sports team duffel bag.
Thank you, Colin. I'm sure Joe could use that stain-removing pen, too.
Oh, my God.
It's like Joe's here.
That's right. Okay, we're going to take your calls now. So call us at 215-953-4979 and ask us any questions you have about fall marketing ideas or programs you could target. Or if you have any tips for our listeners, give us a call, too, and you'll get a $25 Visa gift card.
That's a great incentive.
Definitely. I could use one.
I know. Me, too.
Okay, first we're going to go to Pam on line two. Hi, Pam.
Hi, how are you all?
Great, how are you?
Good. Well, we have a soccer club in the area, and they're hosting their yearly tournament, but I don't really know anything about soccer, and the club wants to give out some things to raise money for the clubs and give out to registration, so I'm wondering if you have any suggestions.
Sure. Well, I'll say it doesn't matter really what sport you're targeting. Stadium cups, stadium cushions, stadium blankets, things like that are always big sellers. Noisemakers to cheer on your team, pennants, and also T-shirts are big sellers. They're great fundraisers. And CJ, I think you had some input too.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, if you want to give something for, you know, the team themselves or for the, you know, for the parents, anything, you know, apparel-wise would make sense as far as, you know, soccer jersey, jackets, hats, things like that. You know, also those parents, they may be traveling for tournaments, so, you know, it could be something that would help in the, you know, while they're traveling. Maybe it's like something like big, like a tent or, you know, or chairs or like cushions, mm-hmm. like you said. And one more thing, at those tournaments, the soccer teams, they actually give away their patches to the other team. And the kids, they sew up like a sweatshirt or jacket with the patches of all the teams that they played. So you could probably get some embroidered patches and
oh, yeah,
have them give
idea.
Them away.
Mm-hmm.
No, absolutely. And also, if you're thinking about theming the campaign, you could come up with a particular theme that may or may not be associated with sports at all. Just, help them kick off the new year and,
right.
and kind of thing.
Yeah, great. I hope that helped you, Pam.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the ideas.
Okay, hang on the line. Okay, next on line three, we have Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Great. What's your question?
Well, I'm trying to break into the education market. I keep hearing how there's a lot of dollars there, but you know, it's been a long time since I was in school, and I'm just wondering how do you get started?
Well, I don't know if you have any kids in school, but if you have kids in school, I would target the PTAs there. You already have kind of a foot in the door. Also, if your kid or your nieces or nephews or anybody, your neighbor's kids are on any of the school teams, you can have them talk to the coach and get your foot in the door there. There's also marching band competitions, things like that. There are various avenues to get into the school, not just going to the principal. And schools, a lot of elementary and middle schools also have school stores where they sell logoed products.
Yeah, and you know, what we hear about schools is that it's kind of a network thing, so if you get in good with one person who's buying, then they'll refer you. And if you, another way to start small, aside from teams, is if there's a club, like an English club or a drama club or something like that, and they're, you know, they want shirts for their members, you know, approach somebody who's doing that, and if they give you a small run, maybe 15 shirts or whatever it is, and you do a good job, you deliver on time, then you're going to be recommended for larger jobs to other people with, you know, more buying power at the school.
Yeah, I would say it depends on, you know, are you trying to do business with the school itself or with, you know, maybe a club or a team that's sort of a part of the school but not the school? Because if you do it with the school, you might have to go through the purchasing department, and when you do that, they usually, you know, bid it out, and it's very price-driven. But if you do it like a booster club or, you know, one of the student groups or, you know like marching band, stuff like that, you know, they're not as beholden to those rules, and so in that case, you can probably get things done quicker and not being worried about, you know, them bidding it out and you getting undercut.
That's right. Good point.
Yeah, another way to get in is you also might want to think about buying a list. And list rental is relatively cheap as long as you're not requesting email address.
That's coming from the marketing guy.
Sorry.
Right.
I just wanted to say, buying a list is relatively inexpensive if you're not looking at doing an email campaign. You can get a list of phone numbers or get a list of direct mail addresses for the schools and be able to do a mailing out to them as well.
Mm-hmm. I'll say also one more thing. Schools run on a July fiscal year, so you know now's the time to do it, because by the holidays, really, they've probably spent most of their budget as far as promotional products. So do it now, because if you wait too long, there's not going to be anything left them to buy from you.
That's right, but you could still target the PTA all school year long, I think, because that's a parent group.
Yeah.
One more idea is that plenty of schools have caught doing good programs as well, where they give imprinted logoed items to the kids that are caught doing something good. So that's something to think about too. And also their awards programs at the end of the year.
What if they're caught doing something bad? What did they get?
Well, they go to the principal's office. But thanks a lot for calling in, Dave, and hang on the line.
All right, thanks.
Okay, next on line one, we have Penny. Hi, Penny.
Hi, how are you all?
Good. How are you? Do you have a question for us?
I do. I just recently got a call from a client of mine, and they're already asking about end-of-the-year holiday promotions. Do you think it's too early to get started on that?
Absolutely not. This is actually the perfect time, and right now I'm actually editing the gift guide for Advantages, which is going to come your way in mid-September. It's never too early. Summertime is a great and perfect time to target holiday promotions. And revisit with your clients from last year, too, and see what kind of holiday promotions they did, and give them a call and remind them it's time to get their orders in, because suppliers will give you discounts for getting orders in early and EQP and things like that.
Okay, fantastic.
And to go along with that, Kathy, the holiday time is big for incentives, and some of our incentive suppliers need a little bit more lead time for those nicer items.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll want to start looking at that now, and it's another reason why ASI publishes their gift book in
That's
July.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, that makes sense, just in case I need to get something embroidered or, you know, engraved.
Absolutely, yeah, with the awards, and you're going to personalize a lot of things too, so that takes a lot of lead time, like Colin said. Well, thank you, Penny.
Thank you so much. I enjoy your show.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Next on line four, we have Regina. Hi, Regina.
Hi. I'm laughing because my question was exactly the same question that Penny just asked you.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So you just went...
If it was too early to focus on holiday orders or greeting cards, let's say, but I guess you kind of answered that.
Well, I would I would add to that question. It depends on who your client is. If you if it's a bigger corporation, there's a lot more steps they have to go through as far as approval and getting it done. You want to set more time aside to do that. If it's either a smaller business or a small business owner, and there's really the one decision maker you're working with, now is still a good time to start, but you can be comfortable knowing that it'll probably take quicker for that decision to happen.
Right.
Yeah, I was wondering because if I call now, I don't want people to say, oh, you know what, it's still August, call me in October or something, and then by then maybe they found someone else, or, I don't want to miss the opportunity.
Yeah, no, and tell them you are being proactive as their counselor and their marketing person, or the marketing arm, so to speak, by reminding them about all the upcoming holiday events that they should be planning for, and remind them that suppliers sometimes give discounts for early orders.
And if you also have like five great ideas that you pitch them to, then that's going to make them more likely to go with you rather than, wait a month and then go with someone else.
Right. And also, I would say, Regina, remind them that there's holidays throughout the year, too, that they should be looking at and planning for. Because a lot of people just stick with Christmas and Hanukkah and things like that, Thanksgiving. But, think of like 4th of July down the line and Easter and all kinds of things. And advantages, every month we have a calendar with wacky dates that you could target. And that helps your clients stand out, too.
Oh, great. Okay.
Okay, hang on the line and Vinny will get your information.
Okay,
next on line two we have Dave Brown. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today?
Great. Do you have a question or comment for us?
Well, I just want to piggyback on the gentleman who called about getting into schools.
Mm-hmm.
We've just moved to a new area about 2 years ago with a school, high school of 5,000 students, a middle school over 3,000 students.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to get in. And so basically what we've done, my wife is involved in our son's school, which is in the middle school. She's the secretary in the PTO, which landed us the Spiritwear contract for this year, which, 3,000 students, it's going to be a nice account.
That's great.
And then also getting involved with the supporters that support the sports programs, get your foot in the door. So there are many avenues to get in if you just have to take the time to get involved. And then most of those people are business people who are helping out with the schools, volunteering in their time. So we have found that just that little niche that we've gotten into and contacted the schools and the PTOs has starting to benefit. So there are ways of getting in. It's just you've got to take the time and be willing to give your time to get there.
That's great. Right, Dave. And let me ask you a question. Have you tried getting any co-sponsorships from businesses in the community to help out with the funding?
Well, actually, we have one car dealership here in the community, which is they actually have sponsored the local stadium who remodeled the entire stadium, put down the field turf and everything. They are the main sponsor, so they do everything. And through getting to know them from that aspect, I am now their preferred vendor for all their auto accessories and things like that for their dealership.
That's great.
And their minimum order is always 5,000 pieces, which is always nice.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So it's a good opportunity. Like I said, you meet people, you can find different avenues, chambers of commerce are nice, but everybody's doing it.
Right. And like you said, a lot of these volunteers at schools are also business people in the community, and that might even give you a foot in the door for their business.
Exactly.
Right. Well, you know what you're doing, Dave. So thank you for giving us your great tips, and hang on the line, and Vinny will get your number, your information.
Thank you very much. I love listening to you guys.
Great. Thank
Thanks.
You. Okay, now on line one, we have one of our favorite callers, I'm assuming, Bob, unless it's a different Bob. Hi, Bob.
Good morning. No, I'm your favorite.
And he humbly admits it.
Mm-hmm. And I tell all my clients that.
Very good.
I just wanted to follow up, but I have a question on greeting cards. This morning I was just at a meeting, and I had been telling people, don't forget, it's time to think about dated goods, greeting cards, incentives, thank yous for your loyal clients. And a guy turned to me as we were leaving. He says, how soon do I have to place my order to get that discount?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a great incentive. And the best thing I've found for myself that works with my clients is, why don't we get this out of the way? Because it's so crazy towards the end of the year.
Right.
And people seem to respond to that. But the question I had for you guys, there is a greeting card company that touts the ability to do this all online really quickly. I won't mention their name, but have we gotten any feedback? Do we know if that's really affecting our industry?
I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard about that, Bob. Maybe if you send Vinny your email address, we can correspond later.
Okay.
On that topic.
Wonder if that would be something that you might want to study.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Give Vinny your email address, and we'll correspond about that later.
And Bob, along those lines, it's always good when you have an online competitor, so to speak, like mm-hmm. that you tout your service and the other services
good
you
point.
Provide to show that while you may be able to get these, you know, stationary very, very inexpensively, a lot of times it doesn't come out exactly as they like, and you're there to provide the service to make sure they get exactly what they're looking for, as
mm-hmm.
well as adding on to other things they're looking for besides stationary.
That's right.
Absolutely. That's a great comment. I agree 100%.
Yeah, Colin's right. You could leverage your partnerships with suppliers in the industry, too, and they don't have that ability with some online entity. But thank you for your comments, as always, Bob, and hang on the line.
Thanks.
Thank you. We also got a comment, I think, on Facebook from Kevin Long, and he says, just a comment for any season. Wear what you're selling, which makes sense, and wear their color if they have corporate colors. It will help catch the customer's eye. He recently went from a $20 golf shirt to selling a $40 golf shirt because he was wearing the university colors and the customer liked the way the shirt looked while he was wearing it. So that makes a lot
That's
of sense.
A great idea.
Yeah, so we advise our readers mm-hmm. with wearables, you know, wear the
Definitely.
Stuff so they can see it off, and you want them to see it on a person in addition to trying it on. So
that's
a powerful way to get an upsell.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you offer decoration services, obviously, you know, embroidering or screen printing or sublimating your logo or design on your shirt will also get comments from people.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right, now we're going to pause. You can still call us if you want at 215-953-4979. We'll take calls throughout the show. But now we're going to pause for a commercial from our sponsor.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by iPromoteU. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromoteU today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromoteU, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-857-3370 or visit iPromoteU.com.
Okay, we're back. And for some reason, I got this topic of character flaws that leaders share.
Takes one to know one.
This and cursing. I don't know why. All right.
I think Joe assigned the topic, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
So
he went off to jury duty.
Right, but I have all this celebrity gossip stuff. So what?
And
does
I
that,
have the bad lead. And I have the bad leader stuff. All right. Well, first of all, being a bully leader, duh. Right. Nobody likes being pushed around, and there's a big difference between pushing people around, barking orders, and earning cooperation. The manner in which you assign tasks and responsibilities will determine enthusiasm by which people will produce and achieve. That's totally true. You know, Melinda's always, no matter what she gives you to do, she's like, come on, it's going to be fun, you know? So that actually helps people, you know, push them in the right direction. Being inaccessible, and I hate this, when leaders just like hide behind their doors and you can't get to them. They're always in meetings. I think Tim Andrews is a good example of this, and Norman Cohn, too. They're always hopping around, saying, hi, how you doing, blah, 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 good work, mm-hmm. whatever. That goes a long way in boosting morale. Responding or deciding slowly, this is another thing. With the advent of email, you know, and texting, sometimes the boss doesn't always respond. Like, maybe you have to send them 5 emails. That's no good, right? You should respond as soon as you get an email from your employee, or like within that business day.
Yeah, and you know, going along with that, some people say, well, I only check my email, you know, twice a day, or I've set times. I try to check my email like every 15 minutes and respond to them as quickly as possible, because I just think that people will say to me, you didn't respond in 5 minutes, and I had to go ask someone else, and I'm like, I have you trained that well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you do have to do that.
Definitely. I do that too. And this is an important one, not telling the truth. You might think that like not telling the truth might be protecting somebody or whatever, but truth breeds trust, and lack of it erodes trust. So you mm-hmm. want to have trust between you and your employees.
Like if not telling the truth, like how can they expect you, you know, if you tell them something, why would they follow along if they know that's not true? If you give them something to do and say it's because of this, and they know it's not because of that, there's no incentive for them to go through with the task.
Right.
And also, there's always an office grapevine, so even
mm-hmm.
if you try to hide it from them, mm-hmm. somebody else will tell them.
Also, gossip? Like, never. No
gossip.
Yeah,
no gossip.
Well, that also creates more of a team atmosphere, as in it's we, not you, and
right.
we're in it together.
Right.
So it that helps it with morale.
Exactly.
And also the cheerleading, you know, if the employee understands that what they're doing is part of an overall strategic goal for the company, they're more likely to really be into it and mm-hmm. to want to get the results.
Right. Yep. So there you go. What to do, what not to do if you're the boss.
It wasn't so bad.
No, it wasn't so bad. Okay, now we're on to Colin with easy fixes for customer relationships that go bad.
Yes, I think there are three main reasons why customer relationships go bad or go sour. The first is they're mad at you, obviously. Mm-hmm. How to fix this? You want to monitor social network and respond to both complaints and praise. Once you fix the issue, communicate what you've done to improve it. Also, make feedback forms available throughout your site that are obvious and welcoming, and keep an open ear to feedback. Once the issue has been resolved, invite that consumer to offer more input on other services that you provide.
Mm-hmm.
The second, they forgot about you. So what you want to do here is you want to keep engaging content flowing. Continue to offer unique and helpful content on your blog, via social media channels, your website, etc. And make sure you send check-ins to customers you haven't communicated with in a while. And the third and final reason is they found somebody else. All clients have wandering eyes. The fix? Think long-term and how to avoid this. Make sure they know and understand everything you offer. And treat all interactions, not just those leading to the first sale, as marketing opportunities. Produce marketing that people actually like. Stop basing your communication on a marketing schedule and start marketing based on customer activity.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And like you said, ask for honest feedback. That goes back to the last segment we did with truth breeding trust. You're asking them to give you, you know, the real deal. Like, what did I do well? What did I do you wish I'd improve on? That goes a long way in customer relationships.
And it's an opportunity to do right by the customer, because if you find out what you did wrong, then they're not going to sever all communication. They're really giving you an opening to step up again and do something to make it right.
Right. There you go. All right. Now we're going to a Real Housewife herself over there.
Real Housewives of New
Yes,
Jersey.
Yes, I'm a Real Housewife over here of New Jersey.
So how can,
South Jersey,
how
that
can
is.
Us Real Housewives and everyone else strike it rich?
All right, so we all know who Bethany Frankel is. Mm-hmm. And in 2008, before she went on the hit series, The Real Housewives of New York City, she says she has $8,000. She had $8,000 in her bank account. This past April, when she sold her line of Skinny Girl margaritas, she had reported $120 million in the bank.
Wow.
She says that she actually had a business plan and she went on the show to get a platform for her, you know, her product line. Now she's launching Skinny Girl Sangria. She's launching Skinny Girl shapewear line, Kathy, and she's
what?
Well, she's the only other person at the table who might be interested in this. Right,
I think
Colin?
CJ White.
and she's on her third book, which is on the New York Times bestseller list. So she had a few tips for entrepreneurs, you know, and I think some of them are actually pretty relevant. So she says you should always have a personal mission statement. You know what it is that you are trying to achieve with your business. So and try to frame all of the products, all of the services that you put out there, all of your messaging kind of along those lines. Mm-hmm. So she said that all of her products are about eating well, promoting natural health, being fit, and helping women to solve their problems. So she kind of keeps those criteria in mind. This is, you know, what I already mentioned. She says build a platform for your business. So she went on, you know, national TV so that people could get to know her, see who she was. You know, how do we do that? I mean, we do that through social networking, by creating an online brand and persona that we kind of, you know, keep consistent across all the media that we're on.
Mm-hmm.
Again, she remains true to her brand. So she said she's had things like headbands or other things come her way, but she says, I'm not going to do that because I have this brand. I have this vision. This is what I'm sticking to. This is kind of funny. She says, you know, don't let setbacks derail you. So she says she's not a liquor expert. She said she just was a girl who didn't want to have 700 calorie margaritas, Kathy, but she still wanted to have her
Why
drink.
Why is Nicole picking
on me? Because you're sitting across from me.
Because you love 700 calorie margaritas.
three of them at a time.
The more the better.
But her point is that she thinks about solutions, you know, for people, and kind of thinks, well, what would I like? And so I think this is what promotional experts do. And then, of course, making social media presence a priority. And, you know, even with Stitches Magazine, we've created an online community. You know, we have a Twitter account, we have Facebook, we have a social site, and, you know, I go on those daily and update, and I think that it's a good way to stay in touch and to let people know who you are. A lot of people say to me, I feel like I know you, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking that could be a little frightening. But
some of them are frightening.
Considering some of the emails I get. But no, I think it's good to do that, and I think all of her tips are actually really good.
They are really good, and she's very, very good at promoting and maintaining her brand
Correct.
Image.
Yep.
All right. So, CJ, social listening, what the heck is that? And why is it crucial for your business?
And what are you doing with your eyebrows over there? Yeah.
I'm listening intently. I think Colin touched on this a little bit about, you know, customer relationships and how you can avoid turning them sour. And social listening is sort of that same idea, taking on the social media. The example, you know, that was quoted here in the article was, you know, somebody went onto Twitter and, you know, it was criticizing SaladWorks, saying that, you know, they messed up their salad, I'm never going there again. And you know, the SaladWorks, their Twitter account, would message that person on Twitter and say, well, you know, what do we do wrong? Let us contact you. The owner's going to contact you directly. How can we make it right? How can we fix this? Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the idea of social listening, is monitoring the social network airways and, you know, looking for mentions of your company, company names, brand names, mm-hmm. and finding out what people are saying about your company. And then, you know, if it's good, obviously that's great. If it's bad, then, you know, companies have to be proactive to do something to try to make it right. And actually, it's funny. There's a recent example. Obama was giving a speech, and, you know, there's the Obama Twitter account, and there's a Twitter user that was complaining, this is boring. So the Obama Twitter account, the people running it sent him a link, said, oh, I hope this is more exciting, and it was a Rickroll, and so went right to that Rick Astley video. So that's an example of, you know, doing something fun, but also sort of like, if you monitor the Twitter, Facebook, and look for mentions of your company, you know, you can see what they're saying about you.
Mm-hmm. And I think we talked a couple months ago on this show about there's actually a reputation management website now that will alert you pay a service monthly fee or whatever. I don't know. If you Google it, just reputation management site, you'll find what it is. But that's really a cool tool for businesses now.
Yeah, and there's other things that I think it says TweetDeck and Hootsuite, and there's a couple other things. You can just go search out twitter.com. A couple others are currently.com and socialmention.com. All these things are available, so you can check for the mentions and see what they're saying.
Yep.
And another thing too is to go on forums. If you're serving specific niches and you know that there are forums where people go to post, you know, issues or whatever, even if it's not directly related to you, you can post yourself as an expert. And if people have questions or problems, you can answer, you can offer them resources. Mm-hmm. And it's a good way to kind of let people know who you are. Again, with Stitches, not to toot my own horn, CJ. no, but we have different embroidery forums that I just go on, and people will say, oh, I'm having a problem with this, I can't renew my subscription. And then I'll, you know, chime in, and then I'll see on another site someone will say, oh, Nicole actually responds to me. And I think that's good. It kind of builds.
They talk about, you know, social media. You know, don't always be starting the conversation and doing the post, you know, respond to other people's posts, continue the conversation. That way you can sort of build yourself up as an expert and feel like they can see you're contributing to the, you know, the overall conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good points. All right. Let's try going with our favorite things right now before we go on other topics.
Okay.
Okay. Nicole, what's yours?
All right. So I'm having this love affair lately with alternative apparel. I love their stuff. Mm-hmm. And what I picked is this really trendy throwover shirt. It kind of looks like a vest. It's long. It's made out of a burnout material. And it comes in cobalt, mushroom, silver, true black, violet, and white. And it's great for giveaways for female employees and clients. It's also good for a uniform piece if you want, you know, if you're, say, for example, a salon and you want some of the employees to wear something that's similar. It's made out of 50% poly, 50% cotton burnout, and I love it. So I would highly recommend you checking it out online.
Very good. Will you be wearing one?
Maybe, but I haven't gotten a sample yet.
Well, maybe after today you will.
I know. Maybe I'll get one in the mail.
All right, Colin, what's your favorite product?
Well, it's football season, and football season means tailgates, cookouts, and even just hanging out in the man cave.
And 700 calorie margaritas.
unless you switch to skinny old sangria.
So I picked a football-shaped bottle opener. It's made of durable plastic, has a pop top insert. It's good for it. This unique marketing tool will remind your customers about your company every time they look for their keys. It's available from Openers Plus, ASI 63073.
Very good. You could always use a bottle opener. CJ, what's yours?
So I chose a reversible fleece jacket from S City USA, and, you know, I accumulate fleeces and soft shells, and this is nice because really sort of like that all-in-one where, you know, so one day you could wear just like that soft shell side, mm-hmm. you know, flip it, reverse it, and you can wear wear the fleece. And so depending on the weather, depending on, you know, just wanted to show something different, you know, that jacket really serves a purpose for the whole season.
Definitely. Thank you. And mine is something we touched on, getting into schools. And I think this would be perfect for any school promotion or school store. It's a really simple plastic bookmark, but it also is a pen holder. So you could just like mark your page and sit your pen on top of it. Great for college students, great for elementary, middle school, high school, whatever. It's also a good thing for bookstore promotions and things like that. And it's from Calibre International LLC, 43442. And you can see what I mean by it, because all the pictures and the information is up on our website at asicentral.com/radio. All right, we have time for one more topic. Nicole, what's this about the situation?
The situation. So this is kind of an interesting reverse PR move. You might have heard that Abercrombie & Fitch has offered The Situation, who is that womanizing, intoxicated character on our favorite show, The Jersey Shore.
How do you really feel?
They've offered him what's been dubbed a significant sum of money not to wear his apparel. And of course, he's, you know, righteously outraged, and he's tweeting that this is a, you know, a PR stunt and stuff. However, Abercrombie is kind of defending their decision, saying, you know, the people who wear our apparel, you know, we don't want them to have that image. And so they're paying him not to wear their apparel. And they might extend that to the rest of the cast. I mean, Kathy, if Abercrombie paid you not to wear their clothes, would you?
They have.
So it's kind of interesting. I think I've heard about that with, you know, other designers doing that, saying, please don't wear my apparel. But I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. So. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. That's all the time we have for today. Check back with us next week. Same time, same bat station. See y'all.
Bye-bye.